you're not in that state, get in that state for a trade gun, because our life is not just natural. We're born of the Spirit of God, and times are unfolding. I mean, the Revelation, I mean, there's things happening right now overseas that is unprecedented stuff happening. Jesus is going to come back soon. I believe it. I don't know when, praise God, but I mean, the stage is being set. It is being set, and there's going to be a time, a catching away when Jesus is going, he's going to come. God's going to send him, and he's going to catch up those following Jesus. Bible says, go ahead and start it. I'm going to be preaching on fasting. But the Bible says that there'll be two laying in the bed, one will be left and one gone.
Amen.
And then Teresa ain't going to be left.
That's right.
Amen.
We're going together.
Hallelujah.
We're going to serve. There's going to be two in the field. One's going to be gone. We got to make sure we're ready.
Amen.
You know, one's going to be gone, none's staying in the field. That's in Matthew 24 over there. But he's getting us ready. But I believe there's going to be a revival across the world, an ushering in. Like Joel chapter 2 said, he said, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit. Now, he's been pouring it out since the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
But if we're in the last days, and I believe there's going to be, that's why the challenges have come. Man, have you noticed people's got away from the Lord in the last 2 years?
Yeah.
They got away from the Lord, away from church.
Yeah.
And then a lot of them still in the church, their heart drifted away from the Lord, you know, circumstance and all of that. You know, Jesus even told us, he said, we can't serve two masters.
Amen.
We'll love the one and hate the other. We'll despise the one and cling to the other. He said, you can't serve God and mammon. Mammon is a spirit.
Yeah.
There's a spirit. It's not the paper. Really, it's a spirit. It's a spirit behind money. It's a spirit behind things. You know, there's nothing wrong with things. There's nothing wrong with money. You know, the Bible said we would increase more and more our children. But you know, God warns us in the Word. He said, when I bring you out and when I raise you up, don't forget me.
Amen.
Don't forget me. I've seen people better off spiritually when they didn't have no money than start making a bunch of money. And they're worse off spiritually.
That's right.
That should not happen.
Amen.
Nothing should take our heart away from our dedication and our oneness with the Lord, just like Monkey said. I believe that's why you see strong people, strong Christians in this hour that we live in that has come through, and they are. I believe they stayed one with the Lord. I believe they maneuvered their way through the struggles and the trials and learned how to lean more on the Lord and trust more in the Lord and lean more on to what he's saying, hallelujah. And just like Monty said, he's good. And realizing through all of the trials and all of that, that God is a good God. And a good God has got the best interest for his people, and he's going to do the best for us, hallelujah. But you know, I believe this year we're going to see things come to pass. We believe for a long time, and I'm stretching. I'm extending my faith. I'm believing God for other stuff, not even for me. I don't really need nothing. I mean, I don't really need no money. I don't need no cars. I don't need nothing. I mean, God told me, and I mean, he's telling all of us. He told me, if you will serve me, if you will follow me. He didn't say if you'll go to church,
right,
if you'll tithe,
right,
you know, if you'll be good to people. You know, he said, if you will follow me.
Amen.
He said, I will bring you to a place to where you won't know.
Yeah.
And I'm there.
Lord God.
That's been about 18 years ago, but that's fine. 18 years went by. And people could say, well, it's because you work hard. No, it's because God took my life.
Lord God.
And God said, if you will follow me.
Yeah.
See, the world will let you down.
Yeah.
Finances will let you down. People will let you down. But I'm going to tell you something. God is one that will not let us down if we trust in him, if we follow him, if we grow on to know the Lord. We get to know the Lord more. You know, just like Lucky was talking about, I mean, just like Zach. See, I mean, just last week, just the first of last week, this week, I was attacked on the testimonies I give here, you know, of my marriage, of different things, you know. I was attacked on, you know, I mean, in here, a teenager sitting here, it didn't bother me one bit. Paul was giving his testimony almost got saved. An ungodly king almost got saved because Paul was telling, I was knocked off a donkey and blinded, and the Lord appeared to me.
Right.
King Agrippa.
Right.
So it didn't faze me at all. It don't faze me at all about that, you know. See, but here Zach is over there. Well, I ain't got no money. I ain't got no, you know, I ain't got nothing but this old coin, you know, or whatever. But he heard the testimony where I didn't have nothing but a pencil, and I put the pencil in the offering.
Yeah, amen.
Hallelujah.
And that pencil was a testimony. I don't even know when I preached it last.
Right.
He's heard it over the last 8 years, sometime or another. And the Holy Ghost brought the testimony to him, and he sowed a seed, and harvest came immediately.
Glory to God.
Now, what if he hadn't heard the testimony?
Right.
He wouldn't know how to believe.
Right.
He wouldn't know how to sow a seed and release his faith.
Amen.
I'm not just on Zach. They wouldn't know. See, you got testimonies in your life, praise God. And you know what? I believe it's because, you know, I'm not a people person. I'm a people pleaser.
Right.
I don't try to please people. I don't try to offend people, but I don't try to please people. I try to please the Lord.
Amen.
And that word is said, and the world don't like it.
Right.
Jesus said that if the world hates you, they hated me first.
Right.
Jesus was called Satan. You know, I mean, Jesus was called a lot of stuff. Now, if I'm called that kind of stuff because I'm stupid and I'm not right and I'm in error and all that, then I need to change.
Right.
But you need to change. If you're all jacked up and you ain't wanting to change and everybody's looking from the outside looking in and you jacked up claiming Jesus, you need to change. I need to change. Because our life will continue to be a testimony. There'll be continual testimonies in our life of God healing our marriage, of God giving it. I mean, he just preached that.
Amen.
If somebody in here could have heard him, you know, heard him, man, he'll do it for Zach. I know Zach. He'll just surely do it for me.
Isn't that right?
Man, I got's a button on my shirt, but it ain't the button.
Right.
See, it's not the button. It's not the money. It's the heart. It's the heart trusting God.
Amen.
But fasting, I want to talk about fasting because I'm going to call the church to a fast. You know, I don't know, maybe we'll go a month. I don't know how many of us in here don't make no difference. Maybe we'll go a month and we'll fast. Well, I just can't participate. Well, sleep. That's all through the Bible. Jesus said, he didn't say if y'all want to fast. He said, when you fast. Because
right.
We're going to get on your nerves.
Right.
I'm going to get on your nerves fasting. Because we're going to fast and talk about fasting. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to think about it. We're going to meditate on it. We're going to do it.
Amen.
We're going to fast. We're going to do some more talking about it. We're going to do fast and we're going to do a little more talking about it. And the ones that get in there and fast, they're going to get under the same anointing all of us are under. They're going to get financial breakthroughs. They're going to get spiritual breakthroughs. They're going to get national breakthroughs. We need a revival in this nation. We need a revival in the White House because we're the restraining force down here that's letting things happen somewhat, praise God, that is going to affect us sooner or later. Have you noticed hamburger cost you $10? Fasting is the discipline. Fasting is a discipline.
Amen.
Discipline. Somebody say discipline.
Discipline.
Fasting is a discipline of abstaining from food for biblical reasons.
Amen.
Anybody need more Bible, more God in your life?
Amen.
I do.
Right.
I absolutely do. I've never been here before.
Right.
I've never been under spiritual attack like I have, you know, the last year and a half or so. To do the will of God, to have church, to keep people together, to keep people walking with the Lord. I've had more people mad at me in the last year and a half than I have probably the whole time been ministered. And I'm still happy. But you know what I do? Fast. I'll fast. I'll go before the Lord and I'll hide myself. I'll twist myself together. We just heard the scripture. Those who wait, that word means to be twisted together. That means we think like him. We're going to do like him. We're going to believe like Jesus. That means to be one with him. That means Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burdens are light. Be yoked to him. Fasting is the discipline of abstaining from food for biblical reasons. You need to be hungry. When I get hungry, I'm like, yeah, boy. Yeah, come on, baby. Cry some more. Come on. Let that flesh cry. Let it cry. But my spirit man is saying, come on, let's go a little further. Just go a little longer, hallelujah. Yeah. Satan will come and he'll say, well, I ain't doing that, it's starving. He's trying to keep you carnally minded. The Bible says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded, God-minded. Right. That this is doing some spiritual food and spiritual warfare on my part. That the Bible says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. A fasting is an outward show of humbleness. It is me showing God, I'm humbling myself, God. I need you, sir. I need your anointing in my church. I need your anointing on the people, Lord. I'm humbling myself, God. I know I'm anointed to preach, but I need more than that. I need you moving in the body of Christ. I need you to empower us, God, when we go out, that we get people saved, God, that we bring them in, that our church is the church where we're known for the anointing and the love of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Fasting is an outward show of humility, humbling ourselves before the Lord. Give me Isaiah 58, baby. These are familiar scriptures, but I want to show you a few things the Lord brought out to me this morning. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sin. You seek me. You seek me daily in the light to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness. And forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God with it. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all of your labors. Behold, you fast for strife. They got wrong motives here.
Amen.
God, give me more money. God, We want to kill somebody. Bring lightning down. Their motives are not right. See, we got to fast for right. We got to have our heart right. When we're fasting before the Lord, we got to humble ourselves and we got to forget about ourselves our church taught fasting, and everything and I realized that if I would fast, because I was called into ministry. If you're called into ministry, why do you not light your candle? Why don't you get some oil? I mean, I'm like a vessel, but I realized, that I'm called. The call of God is without repentance. I mean, he's not changed his mind about this church and what he called us to do. Go into all the world, bring down the kingdom of darkness, reestablish the kingdom of God in the hearts of God's people. Go in the highways and the byways.
Hallelujah.
I was even attacked because we went on the highways and the store shut us down over. It didn't surprise me none at all. I'm like, damn these devils over.
Right.
I started saying, you're an idiot.
Right.
All these people don't serve God out here. They don't want God in the parking lot.
Right.
If I really want to do it, we set up a tent down here on our ground. Come on, us off from here.
Right.
I got bouncers here.
Amen.
We got the law of God down here.
Glory to
We ain't got to have that parking lot.
Right.
See, but the Carly mind, well, they shut us down. We're just a bunch of little whoop puppies. We ain't whooped names, whooped nothing, praise God.
Man.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel. See, fasting helps us do away with ourselves.
Right.
He says, behold, you fast for strife and debate and despite for the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Go ahead. Is this not the fast that I've chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul. Is to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him. Wilt thou call this a fast and acceptable day of the Lord? Is not this the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. Hey, are you having a lot of trouble with wickedness? Fasting helps loose the bands of wickedness.
Man, Lord God.
Hallelujah. You know, I scroll through Marketplace. I bring it up a lot because us men, you know, and y'all women. And there's naked women in there in the Marketplace. Got their bikinis on, and I go, whoosh, whoosh. I do not stop and focus on it.
Right.
Why? I'm loosing the bands of wickedness. I sure ain't going to join them.
Right.
Kick that devil right out. Y'all women, little humps on there, whatever. Women's worse off now than most men. Got lust all over them, just lust. They want everybody's husband. They don't want a free guy. They don't want, you know, it's amazing to me how they want somebody married. I mean, there's thugs running all around. Won't you go get them? But no, God, there's wickedness. Wickedness. That's what. And we undo wickedness. We root up wickedness. When we're fasting before the Lord, when we're going before the Lord, you know, and humbling ourselves. You know, I heard this preacher say one time, he said, you know, he's talking about Christians being stiff-necked. You know, we need to bow. We need to humble ourselves, you know. And I thought, well, I have been stiff-necked toward the Lord before. Lord, I don't want to go through this.
Right.
Lord, I don't want to go through this. I didn't hear him ask me. I heard him say, take up my cross and follow me. I didn't want to go to the cross either, son,
right.
But I went.
Right.
I humbled myself before the Lord to do the will of God. That's what Jesus did. And see, we've got the same anointing, same power, same spirit living on the inside of us. But God, all we got to do is increase that in our lives.
Amen.
Increase it. To loose the bands of wickedness. That you undo heavy burdens. I was thinking about Monty. I don't battle anymore whether God's going to come through for me anymore.
Amen.
I don't. I never wonder, is God going to come through? Am I going to have enough? I never. But you know, I can go back to times where I would fast and I would pray and I would say, God, make your word revelation to me, God, that none of these things move me like the Apostle Paul. God, help me come like the Apostle Paul, where none of these things moved him. Well, if I didn't work on that and ask the Lord and fast and pray and get in the Word and say it out of my mouth, I would be moved by $5 a gallon. I'd run pickup trucks. I understand.
Right.
It cost me $20 to go to Abbotville and back to Sneed. And then I have to put 20 more in. But you know what? None of that moves me.
Amen.
But God, I'm going to fly a jet. I sure am. I'm going to suck up a bunch of jet fuel.
Amen.
See, you got to think beyond where you at. This is just grand. But if you don't fast and you don't pray, you're going to stay normal. You're going to just stay carnal. You're just going to everything that comes your way that looks like it's going to take away from you is going to bring you to your knees every time. Only way that's going to bring, I'm going to get on my knees.
Amen.
It ain't going to bring me to my knees. I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm going to raise my hands and voice and heart to the God that saved me, to the God that redeemed me, to the God that has brought me through thick and thin, floods, water, Satan, all kinds of things, brought me out into an abundant place.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that you break every yoke. See, we're living in a time where people, and I'm not going to harp on this, not here, y'all are faithful. If I called another meeting led by the Lord on Tuesday night, we'll be here.
Amen.
We going.
Amen.
Whatever God's called us to do, he's called us all. We going, because God has a purpose. God tells us to go to the prisons. We're going to believe God to open the prison doors for us.
Right.
He tells us to go to the jails and start evangelizing in the jails. We're going to the jails. We'll believe God to open the door supernaturally for us.
Right.
Whatever he tells us to do, but I'm telling you, what God is saying, he's saying all these things are not possible within yourselves. And within the body, don't have the ability. But I need to put more of my ability in this body. Praise God. We're already powerful, I thought.
Amen.
You can't break us. And I thought, man, we're forced to be reckoned with on the satanic side.
Amen.
Satan's scared of us. We have the domain that God give us. We have dominion in the realm that God give us. Hallelujah. And these people that's coming in with the food and all that, they don't know. Just like yesterday, you know, they're blocking. And you know, it was rebellion in some folk. Rebellion in them. And so it just rose up in me like bold as a lion, you know. And I said, whose truck's that? And that guy, he says, well, he said, I tried to tell him. He said, he won't listen to nobody. I said, oh, he's going to listen to me.
Right.
And so I go right down there under the anointing, and I walk right in that building like you ought to do with the devil. Praise God. And you at your house or whatever, and walk right in there. And I said, who has that avalanche up there? And that guy said, it's me. I said, get yourself up there and get in there and move it.
Right.
And then I'm marching behind him. I'm like, you know better than this. You're holding up I got him all the way to the car. I thought, I'm going to either change him or he's going to splickety-split and don't come back.
Right.
Yeah, we're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to be bold.
Amen.
We're supposed to be, we got things structured, and we're supposed to do that structure in our homes, in our businesses, in our finances. We're supposed to be structured. We're not supposed to be loose cannon. And then those looking will say, he'll come back and say, ooh, better stay in my car, get the food, and then I'll go down there because that little man will come get me.
Yeah.
He didn't know I was a pastor, man. I don't guess. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. What did I have to do with that?
Right.
Go around there and got another little lady over. She didn't earn any woman sitting behind her. Bump, bump, bump. There's nobody in the car. She's down yonder. She can't get by, so she's just going bump, 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 bump. And I walk right by there. She's mad. She's shaking her fist at me. Get her. I done told her five times. So I walk in down there. I said, who is it in here? Got the little white car out there, a little white truck. It's mine. I said, get yourself out there and get it. And I followed her. Get up there and move that. Get in that truck. You know better than this. Y'all better not. Y'all holding up the whole ministry.
Right.
We're sorry. I said, just don't ever do it again. I thought, man, if I can't get them in church, I'm going to change them out in the parking lot. Praise God, man. They've got to have some structure in their life. That's what's wrong with them. They loose cannon.
Right.
Ain't never had nobody show them what structure is. So we're going to show them what structure is. We're going to show them, hey, we do things around here. We start at 6:30. And that lady over here, she said, I thought y'all started at 6:45. I said, you know what time we start? You live right there. A lot of me. You're over here talking, holding up the ministry. Well, we've been over here fasting and praying and spending our money getting the food and all of that, and I take off work and go get the food and all of that stuff, and they get on my nerves, the food bank, every now and then, and I just deal with it, and I keep a good attitude and humble myself, and you know what I'm saying?
Amen.
See, people looking at me, brothers, sisters, you know, family, and all of that, they need to look at me and say, Scotty serves God. Scotty's got structure in his life. Scotty knows God. And they don't know how to know how I know God, but they know that God's in my life by the evidence. So fasting helps us to loose the bands of wickedness, undo heavy burdens, and let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. See, we're not waiting on God to break yokes. We're not waiting on God. God, we're his hands and feet. We've heard it in Sunday school back then. We're his hands and feet and mouth. Well, what are we saying?
Amen.
If we're feet, what are we doing? If our hands, what are we doing? Are we taking up servants? You know? So God is calling us to fast. Give me the next scripture, man. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? Look, man, I thought about this. This come up my spirit. Now, I had this mentality that preachers ought to get a special haircut deal. Back then, done it. I mean, I just thought, well, you know, we're preachers. You know, preachers get discounts and things, you know. And so, every time I get a haircut, you know, I'll be like, well, I'm a preacher. I'm going to charge you more, man. Them Christians lying, man. Them preachers irritating. I'm thinking, what? Are you serious? But anyhow, the Lord told me one time, he said, why don't you give her a $10 tip? I thought, $10? The haircut's already $10. That's 20 bucks, man. That's $20 for a haircut. There ain't no way I'm paying $20 for that haircut. She got the other too. Yep, yep, God wants me to get. See, we shouldn't be going around looking for Christian discounts.
That's right.
But God, if we're blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, you go to a restaurant, they'll look and say, good God Almighty, get them at my table. Why? Because you busted with a $20, $40, $50 tip every time you go.
Right.
You walk up, they're looking for you. Y'all want it at my table? Y'all want it at my table? They know me and Tricia like that. Y'all want to come to my table? I'm like, sure we want to come to your table, man. We sure do. That dude knows he's going to get busted with some good tip when he leaves. Well, I'm a Christian.
Right.
Give and it shall be given unto you. But you know what? If I fast and don't fast and don't press in, I'll just stay carnal and I won't pick up on the blessings of the Lord when they're there. They're not just in the house of God where the blessings are at. That's not where all of it manifests. It manifests wherever you're at and you're spiritually in tune with the Lord and the Lord tells you things out there to do or say or whatever, praise God, and you do it and then you stop the enemy and don't even know he was coming till later.
Right.
I haven't made that move, the devil got me. Give me the next one, man. Then shall thou call and the Lord shall answer.
Amen.
I like that. I like that when I say, hey, Lord, and he said, I'm already up, boy. I don't feel good this morning. Greater's he in you. He's talking to me.
Yeah.
Oh, I just feel lousy this morning. Greater's he that's in you. Lord, he didn't bring all the doors. I'll work all things together for you good. He said, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away the mist of thee, the yoke, the putting forth the finger, speaking vanity. If thou draw out of thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity. I like that.
Right.
In dark times, light comes. I'm like, woo, yeah.
Right.
This is all going to work out. All going to be okay. And thy darkness as the noonday. Go ahead, man. And the Lord shall guide thee. Well, how often?
Continually.
I like that. I like that, though. I'm going to go make decisions. I'm making some decisions in my business. I'm telling you, you can have the wisdom of God, and you can see the unstructured that can be help stuff that you can deal with and can straighten your life out.
Amen.
Some things are out of our control, but then there's things that are not out of our control. Some things are other people's stuff that can be dealt with that's bringing things into our life. We're in that kind of time right now. But I'm telling you, the wisdom of God will set everything just like it's supposed to be if we are listening to the Lord, and He will guide us continually. And satisfy your soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a water garden. I like that. I'm not ever dry. You don't ever have to be dry spiritually again. Trish told me the other day, she said, I don't know, I'm a busy guy. I mean, I do a lot of stuff. You know, I mean, I like it. I just like it, you know. And she said, he ain't got time to get oppressed.
Right.
Aubrey don't either. That girl, her mind is going 24/7. All the time she gets oppressed is when she don't get what she wants. Ain't that like us? I got to go to church on Wednesday, Lord. Come on, somebody. I can cry. I got to go to church on Sunday morning. Well, I just don't feel like it. Join the rest of 99.9% of the people on the planet. We're tired. We work hard. We ain't got a message yet. Some of y'all, this call to preach, I need to put it on you for a month. 1 month you're going to preach every sermon.
Amen.
1 month. Well, I have to work. So do I.
That's right.
Well, I mean, I have to work and preach. I have to work, take care of my family and preach. I have to work, go take care of half of Huntsville and preach.
Amen.
So, if I do that, that'll give you opportunity to get real. That'll give you opportunity to humble yourself before the Lord, because you're going to get crushed without it. That'll give you opportunity to develop as a man or a woman. That responsibility will cause you to develop. To get stronger. I want to be a stronger father. I want to be a stronger wife, husband. I want to be a stronger pastor, leader, mentor. I'm not just mentor people just here at church.
Amen.
And you know what? If we all have that oneness and that mentality, buddy, we got it made. Because we got the anointing of the Lord. He said, like, you'll be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose water is filled up. If you're sitting at home this morning, you ain't in the house of the Lord, and you're sick in your body, you're tired, you're young, you're old, whatever the case may be, and you won't change in your life, well, then why don't you just fast next week? Why don't you humble yourself before the Lord and say, God, I know your will, but I'm not doing your will, God. God, I know I'm supposed to go to the house of God, but I've been believing, whatever the case may be, why don't you humble yourself before the Lord and fast so that you can get yourself healed? He said, goes on and said, your health will spring forward speedily. He said, your health will be affected by fasting.
Yeah.
Go ahead, man. This is Jesus here in Matthew 4. Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had what?
Fasted.
See, we need them bracelets back. WWJD. See, they only did that they used it on cussing and, you know, back under. They used it on that. No, Jesus was fasting. This is when Jesus was led up and was tempted all through in the wilderness after he had fasted 40 days. And Jesus, I believe because of his humbleness to God, his humbleness fasting, why would Jesus need to fast? Why? Because he was a man like me and you.
Amen.
And he stripped himself of being God, and then he operated and showed us how to operate so that we have power over the devil, power over money. All of that is in that scripture where he was tempted. Satan offered him power. Satan offered him money. Satan offered him all the things that the world had to offer. Satan offered it to him. And Jesus come back with the word of God, and I believe God brought this out to me. I've never really seen it, you know. I've seen Jesus fasting, you know, was fasting and everything, and then he's up in the wilderness, but the Lord spoke to me, and he said he was humbling himself before me. He was drawing on my strength. He said he was drawing on my strength through fasting, and then when it come to, you know, having to resist the devil, he was in the power.
Amen.
Now, you believe it or you don't, but fasting will give you spiritual strength.
Right.
It'll cause you to be more spiritual. Jesus did it here. See, and I believe that God was telling me in this, when you're facing things in your life like Jesus was, if you will fast and pray, you will have some answers.
Man.
I will have some answers. Yeah. I'm dealing with things. I wasn't feeling good in my business or the church, but I feel pretty good today because I'm dealing with stuff. See, whenever God is saying move forward and go forward, you have to deal with stuff. But there's stuff. Just like he told the children of Israel, I'm going to take you to a promised land, Canaan land, a land flowing with milk and honey. But there was issues in between. In order to move forward, they had to change. They had to rely on God. They had to draw strength from God. And then when they got over to the promises of God, they had issues in there. They had giants in there. And some of them, because their heart wasn't with God in the wilderness, some 78 said, they went on, but their hearts turned back. They did not walk in the power of God. And we got hundreds of thousands of Christians today. They going through the motion, but they don't have the power of God operating. And so when they got over there to the giants over there, they'd seen themselves defeated. The grasshopper, man, they'll kill us. They'll throw those javelins. But you had a couple there, Caleb and Joshua, that was looking through the eyes like God does and said, hey, man, this just like God said over there, I'm healed. I got the promises of God. I mean, there are no living houses that I didn't build. And they said, let us go up at once. We're more than able. We got some Caleb and Joshua's today. We got them in the making, and we got them already walking.
Amen.
We got some Caleb and Joshua, but all the rest of them had the same opportunity.
Right.
See, God told me one time, he said, don't stay. He said, if you're the same this year as you was last year spiritually, you're not growing.
Amen.
And then one year, I was worse than I was the next year. He said, you're backsliding. Well, people, poor old Scott, he's just under a lot of pressure for me. No, damn, don't make excuses. Don't help me make excuses.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't pat me when I'm going down.
Right.
You know, tell me, look, man, shake it up fast. You know, read your Bible. What's going on? You know,
right.
What's going on, man? You know, if I'm going through something, little things happening, that's fine. Just leave me alone. You know? But if I see or you see or we see each other backing up, we need to shake one another up, not in judgment and none of that. Say, hey, man, you know, what's going on here? You know, let's fast together. Let's just go on a fast. Let's read the Bible.
I don't like reading the Bible.
Oh, you read Facebook all the time. You come on, let your elevator go to the top. I can go through boats, and I can go through sawmill lumber, anything I'm interested in. Boy, I can spend hours. I look up, and Teresa, she told me one time, she said, you're not here. I said, I'm sitting right here. She said, you're not here. I'm in the living room, but I'm in marketplace land. You know, I wasn't doing nothing wrong, but I'm over there in my zone, you know. I'll be there Sunday morning, and I'll be looking to see if somebody's texting me or not. Yeah. I got a problem.
Amen.
I need to go put that thing outside in the freezer.
Amen.
Freeze it. Let it cool off. Try to get my attention Sunday morning.
Right.
I mean, some of us will leave out here. Good Lord, we got to hurry up and see who texts us. What for what?
Right.
Amen. People text me Friday, Monday through Sunday for garage doors. One guy told me one time, he said, it's $2,000. I said, I'm not for hire. I said, I don't work on Sunday. Not for money, not for nothing else.
Right.
Is your car on fire in there? Call the fire department.
Mm-hmm. Right.
House on fire? Don't call me. I'm not coming to open your garage. Call the fire department. Get your water hose out.
Right.
But what then that is fasting and praying and the Lord helping us to discipline ourselves to where we're not moved by anything that would just draw us any old way but God's way. But Jesus was fasting and praying. Give me the next thing, man. Just go ahead with that.
Matthew 17.
No, I'm past Matthew.
Psalm 35.
Yeah. I just wrote it down because I wasn't going to go through the whole bit back to the point. This is Psalmist David. He says, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself, soul with what?
And prayer.
And then what happened? My prayer returned into my own bosom. And God spoke to me. He said, when you're fasting, I'm not just talking about we're going to fast one day. You know, we need to have a fasted lifestyle.
Yeah.
We need to do it often, like every week, you know, personally. I mean, we need to have a fasted lifestyle,
yeah. You
know, to where pretty often, sometimes, you know, we just set time and say, God, I'm going to go a day or 2 meals or whatever it is, you know, and say, God, I'm going to humble myself, Lord. I'm going to fast and I want to be closer, whatever the case may be. Or, Lord, I'm going to fast for my family. There's national prayer in there, fasting, that they did. I think it was Jehoshaphat called a solemn fast over there. They had a national crisis.
Right.
And the Lord showed up, brought revival to them.
Right.
He sure did. He brought revival. Daniel happened in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel fasted, revival came. He was fasting before the Lord. He said, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned unto my own bosom. See, fasting humbles ourselves and is an outward sign of our need for God. You know, I mean, we don't need an outward sign, but what I'm saying, it's kind of like, God, I want to give, but you never give. So the giving don't never do you no good because you don't give.
Right.
That's what the fasting does. The fasting, it brings in results. It can bring in results in your marriage. It can bring results in your spiritual life. And I believe we all can grow spiritually.
Right.
The Bible says, desire of the sincere, build of the work, that we may grow thereby.
Right.
You know? Go ahead, Beth. Get in.
There's not anymore.
There's not?
No.
There's Luke. Let me see here. Did we get Matthew 6, 16 and 18?
Matthew 6.
He must have just seen it. Yeah. Yes, Matthew 6, 16 and 18. This is Jesus here. He said, moreover, when. Somebody say when.
When.
Not if.
Yeah.
When. Somebody say when.
When.
We got to get it. I'm going to fast, Lord, when I do. When you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now that means, you know, keep the thing between you and the Lord. Don't just go around telling anybody how sad you are and starving and all that you're sacrificing for Jesus because
right.
You done lost your reward.
Yeah.
That's all the reward you're going to get. Somebody's going to feel sorry for you.
Yeah.
So the best thing is I'll let Teresa know. Nobody usually knows I'm fasting. Maybe Travis now. We're riding together. And so I'll say, not now. He'll say, you want something? No, not now. You know, he has to do that pretty much every week, you know, because I'm going fast, you know. And so, but I don't do it. I just do it to let him know I'm busy, you know. Right. And I'll tell Teresa, I'll just tell her, you know, don't cook nothing for me tonight. You know, and then she'll ask me, you want something or no? I just, that way she don't cook a big meal for me. But that's the only reason I'm doing it. Because I'm going to get spiritual rewards, you know. And so nothing wrong with letting somebody know, you know, where they don't go out of the way and all that, you know, when you're fasting, praise God. He said, but when thou fast, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not to men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. And right after he was talking about this fasting, and when you fast, he's teaching the disciples, he goes on and he starts talking about, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Why take you thought for tomorrow? Blah, blah, blah. And then he goes on and he said, seek first the kingdom of God and all the in his righteousness, and all these things will be added. After he taught them about fasting, he went right on teaching. You know, don't be concerned about your car payment. You know, don't be worried about this. Monty had a big issue with that, but God's brought him out. Bless God. Set him free. Begin to set him free from worry about taking care of his family. I remember a sermon that Teresa brought to Sunday school, you know, and sat there, and she said, it's not the man's responsibility, you know, to take care of the family. You know, she said, it's God's responsibility. The man trusts God, and God will take care of the family. Well, that's different than worrying. I got to have 800 hours a week, man, if we're going to be able to do anything. Now, the man's supposed to lead and say, God is our source. God will take care of us. Teresa told me one time, went through a big trial and got, you know, and actually, I didn't do a lot of fasting. I didn't feel a lot of fasting. I felt defeated. I felt like we were going to be homeless. So I really backed off of the things that I knew that made me strong, you know, not really realizing how weak I was getting and how I was turning to, you know, unbelief and all of that stuff. And so, anyhow, when it was all said, God, I finally got straightened out, you know, and started believing God and picked things back up, and God was able to work things out. And Teresa told me, she said, all I really needed to hear from you is everything's going to be okay. Man, that would have been an easy one. I mean, I used to would before I let that trial get to me. But you know, if you don't fast and pray, you're just going to be at the dictates of CNN and CBS and Fox and all of them, when that Bible's very clear that he's Jehovah Jireh, he's our provider, he's our healer. I mean, he set the stars and the moon. He controls the hearts of kings. I mean, he can move a nation. But he says, do it in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. Have you not got another one, Beth?
No.
Let me see here. That was another one. Okay, Matthew 17.
23:21?
Yeah.
I do have that one.
Okay. Okay, now these disciples here, and there's several things I see in this, but I'm going to break out a point. These disciples here, Jesus had sent them out, and they had been casting out devils and healing the sick and all of that stuff. And then the guy brings somebody to them, and they couldn't do it. Then they come to Jesus and ask Jesus, why couldn't we do it? What happened? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to the mountain. And people tell me, I have all the faith in the world, and they're so defeated, it don't even.
Right.
You ain't got a lick of faith.
No.
You full of unbelief, and you done believe, and you've got faith, and you ain't got no faith.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now, faith is locked in buns and writing letters to the churches. Paul, that's faith. He's in his trial, and he ain't letting none of that garbage move. But people say, well, I got all the faith in the world. Yeah, we can tell you can't even get to church.
Right.
You sure can't. You can't get to church. You don't even know how to pray a prayer of faith. You know, you think you got faith. See, you're full of unbelief. You can be born again and full of unbelief, full of it. So full of it that everybody else sees it, and you think you're on the faith wagon. Everybody else is like, yeah, Lord. He can't believe him whining about his toenail. What happened to healing? He said, I say unto you, if you have faith of a grain of mustard seed, you'll say to that mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. He said, but let me tell you how this comes out. How about unbelief? Some preachers say, well, he's talking about them demons. No, he wasn't. Demons were stripped of all power. Unbelief can't be stripped. You got to deal with that. Jesus, he done brought the faith of God to us. He said, howbeit this time goes it not out but by prayer and fasting. You full of unbelief? The church ain't going to get it. They can't. I mean, you hear a word maybe and just every now and then. But I'm telling you, praise God, if you've been a Christian very long, I mean, you're going to have to learn kind of like a baby. That baby back there, Jeffrey's got the bottle right now. And that baby's at the mercy of Jeffrey. And some baby Christians, they're at the mercy of the church to get them and hold their hand and, you know, and all of that stuff. But there comes a time when that baby will be holding that bottle. And then before you know it, they'll be setting him on the toilet. They won't out of them Pampers costing $40 a week.
Amen.
You know, there's a reason for that. Want him off with all of that stuff, you know. And before you know it, that baby will be going, what are they doing? They're training him. They're training him to get on his own and go eat with a spoon and all of that stuff. And that's exactly what the church does. But there comes a time, just like they were walking with Jesus. And the Lord, he didn't tell them, unbelief be gone. He could have said, unbelief, believe them right now. Be gone. Be moved. He didn't. He told them, look, if you want to cast out devils again, if you want to preach again, if you want to get your healing like you used to, if you want my power flowing, then you better fast and get rid of that unbelief. If you want the power of God in your life again, then you're going to have to go on deeper in the Lord and fast and pray, and that will break that unbelief. See, because the enemy is very tricky. He makes me think I'm too tired to come to church.
Right.
I worked all week and went over and worked too long on Saturday. Well, that's whose fault's that?
Right.
Don't let down on the things of God. I'm talking to me. Don't let down on the things of God. That's where my powers come from, to be out there doing all that.
Right.
Hallelujah. So I want to call you to it fast. You know, and we'll go a month or two, maybe, whatever. And I'm not talking about go 40 days, you know. One will take one day, and next another day, and time it's all said and done, we'll each fast one time in 30 days. Surely we can make it. And then we might just continue on with it, praise God. Let's just believe God for a national move of God, a local move of God, a move of God in our families. Let's just believe God. Let's just believe God. We're going to humble ourselves and rely on Him and believe God for a revival. Believe God for revival to come to the churches. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I know that God will bless you. Fasting's a powerful thing. I've seen awesome miracles fasting for, you know, not been, I've fasted for minutes, but ministry and different things, and I've seen miracles. And I know it was because of that. It's because natural things couldn't move me. They just couldn't move me. So I have my eyes on the supernatural, and the supernatural controls the natural, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you, and we thank you, Lord.